I actually took the leadership role on as I need to nurture and support and guide, and that changed my mindset totally.
Hey everyone, my name is Nikki and welcome to the Click Collective podcast, I Started a Business. This show is all about inspiring, encouraging, and motivating e-commerce enthusiasts and entrepreneurs by sharing successful small business stories.
In this episode, we sit down with Laura Nicol, the founder of Lash by Lash and Lash Loft and Beauty Bar in Parkdale, Melbourne. With her own salon, online store, and accredited training, Laura is a true triple threat in the beauty industry.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Really excited to get this going.
Yeah. Well, we always like to start it off with just tell us a bit about yourself and your business.
All right. I would love to start from the beginning, but I'll try and fast track it a little. I suppose the development of my business came from a need to earn money, I'll be honest. So it was when my children were young, and this was before there was a lot of help, support from government. How long ago? Say we're talking, you know, 20 years ago now. Yeah. So there's been a really big change since then. But back then it was quite hard to earn money around the family. So I was working at a hospital at the time and working hours that were around the family. So husband and I at the time were tag teaming basically, because three children, childcare, it was just impossible. It really was. So it was at the time I was working when I could to try and, you know, pay the bills and things. So working for a hospital, very late hours, and it felt really difficult, you know, to also be able to look after kids in the daytime, work in the nighttime. And so I had coffee with a girlfriend, and so this was easily, 15 years ago now, with my industry that I'm in at the moment, the beauty industry, eyelash extensions. Back then it really wasn't so much of a thing. So I had coffee with a girlfriend and I was looking at her and she just looked extra beautiful that day. And I was really intrigued as to why. And she was saying that she had her eyelashes done. I'll be really open and honest and say I couldn't believe the money that she was paying.
To get them done.
To get them done. Yeah. It was really crazy in my mind. But she saw the value in it, and that's where I was really intrigued. Mm. So I'd never had lashes done myself. So I really learnt the skill based on curiosity.
Yeah.
I was really fascinated by it. And then I really, really loved it. It felt quite creative for me, which I didn't know that I would even enjoy something creative.
So what was the first step? You met your friend with eyelashes. Do you remember how much they cost back then?
Well, back then I'm pretty sure she paid $80.
Yeah.
And the cost of lashes now can be up and down.
Yeah.
Can be quite extreme in a salon. Some places are charging $200+. Wow. You still do have home salons that are, you know, charging around about the $80 a mark. But for me, it was more about that the lady that was doing the services for my friend was doing it from her home after hours.
Yeah.
And that's what really was the light bulb moment for me, I thought.
So how did you learn the skill? Did you have someone come to your house and teach you, or?
I can't actually recall how I found this lady, but she had moved from England to Australia, had a really successful business in England, and she was training from her home.
Okay.
So I can't recall how I found her, but I'm so grateful I did. She was warm, she was knowledgeable, really supportive.
Yeah.
And then I learned, I didn't want to put the tweezers down, I'll be honest. I was really enjoying learning this new skill. So then from there, I started getting my lashes done from her. So it was like this ongoing mentoring, which fast forward to today, we'll talk about that a bit later. But those bits that I enjoyed and really thrived and were supported, I've implemented that in my training today. Yeah, so I continually were able to learn, problem solve through going to this lady every 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then in no time, I was able to earn, you know, build a little bit of clientele.
Yeah.
Was able to replace the earnings that I was earning from the hospital.
At what stage did you stop working at the hospital?
So I set myself a goal.
Yeah.
I'd worked out how much I was earning at the hospital, which wasn't a whole lot. And I told myself if I can be generating that income as well.
Yep.
And once I met that income, with the lashes that I was doing from home, then I would give away the hospital. So it really didn't take that long. So then I did it quite gradually, and it was real step-by-step process with the way that I've really developed things. So that's where I just had an issue or a problem, solved that problem, and then it went to the next step.
Yep.
So it's really sort of evolved like that, really not accidentally, definitely thought out in the moment, but it really is step by step with the way that my thought processes on developing this business has really been in bite-sized pieces, I suppose, I could say.
So doing it step by step, did you face any big challenges when you first started out, or was it quite a slow stepping stone, so you just kind of took each day as it went?
I didn't find any big hurdles in the beginning. I really didn't. It was, I suppose that's why often I say, you know, I've been so fortunate and been so lucky with the development of the business and the opportunities and things like that, but perhaps I haven't set any real massive vision. It's been, it has felt quite easy to develop, you know, as it's sort of like grown.
Yep.
It's felt easy, maybe because I haven't set these huge expectations and, just sort of gone with the opportunities that came towards me. So the first thing I'm thinking of there is that back then, when it was 15 years ago, sort of the interest in lashes was growing, but it definitely wasn't like it was today.
Yeah.
So I was able to do it slow and steady. And the more that I was able to sort of say open up my hours, the people would come. So you do the job well, that person will then tell five friends, and then those five friends would come to me because at the time there was no one in the area doing it. So it just grew. So the more that I could offer my time, you know, which really just grew with the kids. So the kids, the, you know, when they started, so it went from when they were having naps to then when they would go to kinder to then primary school. So it really just grew with the hours. So my hours, when I was able to open them up, I just took on more clientele.
Yeah.
So it's sort of evolved from there.
And what did you start the business with? Like you didn't, you would buy lashes online, or what kind of lashes were you applying?
So initially it started with you got a kit from the training, and then I would buy, as I used up the supplies, I would buy it from my trainer. And then it was really expensive back then. It was insanely expensive. Glue was, for a small bottle of glue, was about $80 to $100.
Wow.
And then lashes were crazy priced. And that was because the demand here was so minor, so low. So you had to buy from overseas. So after not too long, I was looking at ways to make it more affordable for me to buy the products. And then I started looking overseas, and then I started realizing that, well, if you buy five bottles of glue, it's a bit cheaper. So that's really basically where the online store started from. It wasn't a big, you know, I'm going to make millions, I'm going to, you know, capitalize on this and that. It wasn't, it came from a need for me to make it a bit cheaper for myself. But then I realized, well, I could buy five and sell four, keep one. So it started very, very small like that. I've still got this small shoebox, and that's where the supply started. I had a little container of lashes, a little section for glue, honestly in the size of a shoebox. And then in not too long it just kept expanding from there. So
And did you think right off the bat, like, perfect, I'll buy five, keep one for myself, sell the others? Or did you think, I'll just buy five and – get through them? Or like, when did you think, I'll put them online and try to sell them as you were making the purchase?
Well, it was the intention, I'll keep one to make it affordable for me.
Yeah.
Which honestly, buying it overseas, so compared to here, this is quite sad. I did look at, you know, keeping it all within Australia. I really did try really hard to have that happen. That was really difficult. The manufacturing here was, especially glue and chemical related, it is all overseas, what I was finding in my market. So it simply was just working out an individual price point for me for that glue, and then I wasn't going to keep the rest.
And how did you launch the website? Did you find someone to help you out, or did you, were you Googling how to launch a website? And the business name?
I can't recall, to be honest. As it grew, so it grew fast, I do remember that, yep. Because, you know, I ended up quite obsessed in that time, mm-hmm. you know, just it was about opportunities that were just available,
yep.
Because it was a market that was really not known. So one thing led to another with, you know, you need this product, you need that product. So once I was really curious about the business side mm-hmm. and the possibilities, that did expand quickly. Website development, actually, I do recall.
Yeah.
So this is where my story is quite a little bit different, where it's opportunities that have come to me. I haven't sourced them out. Mm-hmm. So I do feel quite fortunate in this regard. So I was doing lashes on a lady who is now one of my closest friends. She had a fishing business. Mm-hmm. So she had developed, fishing spare parts, boats, things like that.
Yeah.
And her business model, even though incredibly different industry, was very similar. Mm-hmm. You know, buying overseas, repackaging, branding, mm-hmm. selling online. So she supported me in so many ways.
Amazing.
Yeah, program to use, the inventory program.
Yeah.
The processes, the packaging supported me to this day.
That's amazing. So that would be, I think, very scary starting out. It's one thing to come up with the idea and then buy the products, but how do you sell it? How do you package it? Mm. Do you have someone you can chat to and ask these questions?
Mm. Well, she really smart cookie. Yeah. And so she supported me in, you know, this has worked, this supplier for packaging,
yeah.
Sealing bags, all of these sort of things. She just said, do this, do this, do this.
Yeah.
So that then just made me really excited because the packaging looked beautiful. The process then became easy. Mm-hmm. And then it sort of evolved from there. So I was packaging, storing all the product packaging in my home.
Yeah.
So we halved the garage, fitted it out, walls, heating, cooling, floorboards. It was a really nice space.
Yeah.
So I would use that space to do the services, create orders, package them, send them on their way.
Yeah.
Then that expanded quite quickly where it really wasn't working in the home. So I looked at getting a commercial space. Mm-hmm. So bought a small shop in Parkdale.
Yeah.
And then that gave me more room. We could have, you know, 3 to 4 beds going. So mm-hmm. then I got someone else to help me with services, and then I was then selling or packaging everything, shipping everything
from the shop.
From the shop.
Well.
Yeah. Then maybe 2-3 years after that was when it wasn't working. It was just getting too
hectic.
It just wasn't flowing.
Yeah.
It was awkward to be packaging. So that's when I actually found Click.
Yeah.
That was a friend of mine that was looking at a space here.
Oh, cool.
Another lash client.
Yeah.
You know, you get into conversations. So your networking mm-hmm. in this service has been a really big help.
Yeah.
Networking from doing lashes on lawyers, police women, you know, business women,
yeah.
all different contacts. So I've just realised that's actually been a big part.
Yeah.
Yeah, the conversations that you have with people have really been very, very supportive to develop.
They've helped you grow into what you have
definitely
become by just
yeah.
doing their lashes, having a conversation,
correct.
Getting to know them.
Correct, correct. Conversations are good. We underestimate conversations, I think. So, yeah, so from a client that had been here, what would it be, 4 years ago possibly,
mm-hmm.
maybe even.
Five? Yeah, probably like 2019 would be my guess.
Right, right. Well, she had inquired here, and then in conversation she said it would be perfect. So then I came here and it was a whole lot easier to run a business here.
Mm-hmm.
Everything felt really flow. It was the processes were easier to manage, the stock, everything became easier when I moved here.
Except you still had your salon elsewhere. So how was managing that?
That was a really big challenge for me, to be in a few places at once. I did find difficult
mm-hmm.
to this day. I still do find difficult with, I think, managing staff, because at the moment we have 4 staff at the salon, and there's many days it does flow well. Mm-hmm. There's also days where things are unexpected, and that can be from me being, you know, a mum of three. Mm-hmm. So that comes into it. So that is a juggle. Yeah. Every day. But I've accepted that juggle. I think when I'm trying to fit the mold of everything must flow based on a schedule, it just doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So I'm actually finding things easier accepting that days are very different. There's no predictability. Mm-hmm. And you just roll with what's priority. Yeah. And I find over the years the biggest thing that has helped me, which this is – I don't know how much time we do have, but this is an unusual flow of events that mm-hmm. has actually served me really well to this day. With the challenges of, say, having the two businesses
yeah.
and children and things like that, I am a single mum, so that comes into it as well. Mm-hmm. So there was a time when it felt all very overwhelming
yeah.
and my mum passed away back in 2016 and I thought I was managing fine. Mm-hmm. I don't believe I was the best manager leading up to that based on I'd never had any management skills. So once again, the development of the businesses were based on a need, based on, okay, I'm quite busy. I think I can put another team member.
Yeah.
So my management skills, I'd never had any training in that. My management skills had been from learning what I didn't like from past managers. Mm. And I developed my own habits based on what I didn't like and what I did like, which I found just trial and error hasn't actually worked because but I've adjusted now. So yeah. the management style that I had experienced was very dominating, very aggressive
yeah.
in the tacks of trying to get people to do certain things was almost like a bullying sort of mentality,
yep.
which I then went the opposite with thinking everyone's even, you don't need any management, you know, like leadership.
Yep.
I'm not a boss, I'm one of everybody, you know, like everyone else in yep. the team. And I did that for a while and that I was very sort of submissive and reserved mm-hmm. in my style, which I soon worked out actually doesn't work.
Did something happen where you're like, this is not working, I need to change it up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I had the mentality, I think because of personally what things were going on, I hired personalities that I wanted them to take over.
Yeah.
You know, run the show and I would take a back seat and, you know, be proud of them doing it. Doesn't actually work like that. I was fortunate to have a business coach, and the one thing that I really took away from the interactions with her was that I am a leader mm-hmm. and definitely lead by example. I really do take that seriously. But she also taught me that majority of people do like structure
yep.
and do like to follow a leader, and she said, understand your role. Mm-hmm. So instead of me looking at that role as I never wanted to be arrogant, or that's how I viewed a leader in the past from my own experience, mm-hmm. where I've viewed the wrong leaders.
Yeah.
You know, I've had the wrong leaders as experience. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to be dominating. I didn't want to be a bully. So when I worked that out, that you can be a leader
without being those things.
Yeah. yeah. And I actually took the leadership role on as I need to nurture and support and guide, and that changed my mindset totally. I feel that my management style improved a lot
yeah.
from that. Can always continually improve where just trying to get focus and, you know, have things flowing well. Mm-hmm. That's something that I'm working on to this day. But what I wanted to just sort of share, I suppose, was when I was learning by the fly as the business was growing with more team members coming on board, and I'm trying to learn and not realize that it wasn't going well,
yeah.
that's when Mum became really sick. So there was a time when I really hated the salon. Yeah. I didn't enjoy opening the doors. Oh. And looking back now, it wasn't anything to do with the salon. It was things personally. So what I did do, which at the time, well, looking back now, was just such a blessing, I actually put the salon on the market.
Okay.
And I was heavily involved in the salon at the time. I was working 7 or 8 sets a day, yeah. You know, really, really, really embedded in the business. And they told me that the best way to sell the business or to make it look really, really healthy was to remove myself.
Who was they?
They, the agency at the time.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the broker.
Yeah.
The business broker. And he said that that would be the best idea. So I worked on that for a good 6 months to a year, removing myself,
yeah.
Having it flow very, very business process driven.
And would that be like hiring new people to take over what you were doing?
Correct, yeah. Correct. So I instead of being so emotionally involved in the business, I was so proud of it and loved it, and everything had to be perfect, and I took everything very, very personally because I'd developed this from the base up. So removing myself, looking at it as a business, looking at it as a profitable, process-driven, you know, really well-run salon was the best thing I could have done, because I removed myself and then I started to love it again.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to sell it
wow.
after that, because the emotion was out. I could step back and proudly look back at it, mm-hmm. I suppose, and it was working really, really well. So strangely, now I want to work in the salon again
yeah.
because I'm so proud of it. I think my mindset, because I'm a bit clearer, well, a lot clearer mm-hmm. now, I can manage it.
That's amazing.
More.
Were you close to actually selling it, or did you sort of change your mind before you got too deep?
I was very close to selling it. We had 2 interested parties.
Yeah.
There was one that was very, very interested in it mm-hmm. and I was still going to be heavily involved in it. She was very new to the industry mm-hmm. and I think that got quite overwhelming, and then I just sat on it for a while.
Yeah.
And then by that stage it was starting to flow better.
Yeah.
And it just sort of like turned the corner. I hired some really, really suitable personalities for mm-hmm. the team that were working well with my management style. They were just the right fit.
Yeah.
Things just started feeling better. So no really strong dominating personalities. So mm-hmm. the girls on the team, to this day, I think I've got the most amazing team. I really do. Mm-hmm. They have the right personalities to meet the needs of the clients that are paying for the services.
Yep.
They're very professional. They're very considerate. So they really do work well. So I think that's been my biggest management lesson, is to not hire out of desperation and need and panic.
Yep.
To really understand what works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you go about keeping your team? Because I've heard from the beauty industry, it is always changing, and it's usually younger people and they're trying it out to see if they like it. Mm. How, like, have you seen that in the salon?
And, correct.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. So that's something that I have looked at, what works, what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing for me to realize what's the best starting point is to hire personalities that are appreciative of you give what you get.
Yeah.
You know, that type of mentality. People that have really good ethics, yeah. I think. And it's not age-based is what I'm working out. So I've had experiences with all different ages, you know, 18 through to mid-50s,
yeah.
let's say. And what I've worked out, I can have one of the youngest team members, and if she has the right mentality to be respectful, I think, mm-hmm. respectful and trustworthy, then that seems to be the best start.
Yeah. Are most of your staff full-time or part-time, casual? What have you found works for you?
What works for me is part-time.
Yeah.
I think it's been really different over the years, especially COVID times and what people are wanting. Mm-hmm. And it's always changing. Like, it's even changing a bit at the moment. But I find that people want to be a part of something mm-hmm. is my experience anyway. This is not across the board. But I've found that there was a time when I had casual, and that was based on, I think, my fear of not having the work there,
yeah.
getting someone on board. It does take a process to get them up to speed and comfortable, and mm-hmm. then producing good work and understanding all the processes. So I would start them on casual, build them. But I think that that doesn't give an inclusive mindset. Mm-hmm. This is my experience in this industry. So it can create someone that isn't totally invested. And I find that people want to be.
Yeah.
You know, if they want to grow and get excited about a business, they want to feel a part of something.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I take someone on board and I give them a permanent role and give them clear understandings about responsibilities and if they're wanting, you know, to take certain things on, I think the permanent role, whether that be full-time, is a lot to ask in this industry when you're doing services on repeat.
Mm-hmm.
So part-time tends to work the best.
Yeah.
And I find that a lot of my team have interests in other fields. So, you know, it could be one of my team members, she has a band. So she, you know, she has rehearsals, she has weekend work. So that works well. But a real understanding and respect for both things that are important.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to work really well.
So we've chatted a bit, Laura, about the online store and the salon. Tell me about the lash training aspect of your business, because you do it virtually and in person.
Correct.
Yeah. How did that happen? I feel like it was during COVID. Did it kick off? Or?
Well, if I think back, once again, it came to me. So many years ago, I wanted to be a teacher and I...
Like a...
Primary teacher.
Yeah, okay.
Primary teacher. And I would have loved to. Mm-hmm. This was back when...
I think you would have made a great teacher.
Yeah, well, now my experience and seeing what, you know, teachers, primary and high school actually go through, I'm sort of glad I didn't go into it. But back then it was when I did get accepted into Deakin Uni and I sat on the fence thinking about it. Back then, the government were knocking down schools. The teachers were quite panicked about their roles and things like that, you know, their jobs. And I really thought, why on earth would I be wanting to invest, you know, 4 or 5 years in something that who knows what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about it for a while and then decided not to do it. So then my career sort of was... sort of in manufacturing, being EA, took on that sort of like field. But I really do love supporting and helping. Mm-hmm. I really get such enjoyment out of it. So once again, based on a lash client, this was back when I was working from home.
Mm-hmm.
She said to me, you know, would I train her? She's curious to learn. And I'm like, okay, I'll give it a whirl.
Yeah.
And then I really enjoyed it. And then it just sort of went from there. So,
and at that stage, did you need to have certifications to be able to train?
No.
You could just train.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. But then when I got such enjoyment out of it, I'm like, I'm going to actually look into this.
Yeah.
So I did my TAE, which gives you the qualification to train and assess.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give you the qualification to give an accreditation to a student.
Yep.
There is a big misconception in the lash world that trainers believe that they can actually certify and accredit a student if they have that qualification under their belt, and it's actually not the case.
Okay.
They do need to be an RTO or they need to partner with an RTO to be able to certify that student.
Yep.
So as it stands at the moment in the industry, to run a business, you don't actually have to have the accreditation. It definitely does help marketing-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where it's sort of all changing at the moment. So I did my TAE. It was tricky. It was hard. Mm-hmm. I didn't find it very easy at all, but I was really...
Was it all in person or online?
It was in person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So...
Hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Went into the city, went through a... plenty training and then was able to get the qualification. So then that helped me to understand how to write the course material, how to assess correctly, how to understand about different learning styles and to meet the needs of, we're all very different. So, you know, visual, audio, you know, tactile, there's so many different areas that people learn best.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that really interesting. So then started to just create my own course content. And
wild.
Yeah, and so then that started face to face, and that was very sort of like small ability to train many people.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I came to Click, the facilities here, I was able to be running classes where we had 10 students at a time. And even though that was the biggest challenge, it was a lot, but I hit the mark. I was so proud of the quality that I was delivering at, the support that I was delivering out, the professionalism. I knew that I couldn't offer really supportive training if I trained any more than three students at a time.
Okay.
So I had it where if we hit the fourth student, I would get support. I would get another trainer, which was normally one of my team at the salon.
Yeah.
And they're all highly experienced, so they definitely could, you know, support and help.
Yeah.
So we just kept it at that ratio. So depending on the enrollment size, if it was six students, then there was two of us. Mm-hmm. If it was seven, then there was three of us. Yep. So we kept it one trainer to every three students.
Yep.
So when we were running the classes that were hitting 10, it was a big challenge. I really did enjoy it. I was exhausted. I would have to take several days off after.
Yeah.
But it was because you have 10 students, you then also have two models per student.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of people in that one room. Yeah. But it just ran flawlessly. I was really proud of it. So then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And in that time, someone said to me, and this is the thing that really does drive me, I think it's just my stubborn nature. Someone said to me, oh, you can't train online. There's no way you can train students online.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah.
So I worked out how I could. Mm-hmm. Based on a bit of a blend of support, so not purely online. So there is the mentoring side, which is done via Zoom.
Okay.
And I'm so proud of the way that I could actually do it. And I remember this is in lockdown.
Yeah.
I had my children at one end of the room, the house, set up with their phone on Zoom, and I was in one end. And I had a mannequin head and I'm like, can you see my tweezers, how clear? And we recorded it all.
Yeah.
And I was able to see it's possible. So then I just developed it from there. Mm-hmm. So the concept, I think the challenge there has been, how on earth can you be training someone online?
Yeah.
And I understand. I didn't think it was possible either. Mm-hmm. But it really, really is possible. You know.
So explain what the online training is. So you have a video looking down at a mannequin head, your hands are in the video. Are you talking during this and explaining exactly what you're doing?
Yeah, correct. Yep. So the online course is set out, there's many, many modules. Mm-hmm. I think there's over 60 modules.
Wow.
So some are small, some are longer.
Yeah.
And it's a mixture of, so once again, with the different training styles, there's videos to watch, there's audio.
Yeah.
And then there's interactive where they need to do practical little activities and things like that. They get sent out a kit and it's all bite-sized pieces. So they can practice on a mannequin head and keep it quite basic just so they understand the processes. Mm-hmm. That's all they need to do. And then so it's all step-by-step learning tutorials just for an understanding. Then when they've sort of grasped the understanding, then they link up with me to do their mentoring session, which the first one is about 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. And then they will organise a live model. So our course is set up where they get a lash kit. They also get a lash bed sent out to their home.
Oh, cool.
So they organise a model that can literally be on the bed at their end. So they could be in Cairns or Tassie or I'm really, really proud of this program for that reason. So they have the model on the bed and then I start from the very beginning. So we go back and I actually talk to them about every process again.
Yeah.
I'm showing them.
And you're on Zoom, they're on Zoom.
On Zoom, correct. Yeah. At my end, I will have a mannequin head. They'll see my hands, they'll see my tweezers, everything, the setup. Mm-hmm. They'll have the same but they have a live person.
Yeah.
And I'll just mimic and show them the steps that they've already watched and learned.
Yeah.
I do it first, then I get them to do it step by step.
Yeah.
And then we just do it in a flowy manner where I can see when they're ready to actually be dipping in glue and placing.
Yeah.
And that's a really cool experience because at that point they're nervous and I have a really good knack. I didn't know I had this knack, but I have a really good knack of understanding what that student will need.
Yeah.
You know, if they're needing me to be quite nurturing and you've got this and you can do this and I did it, you can do it, that sort of like conversation.
Yeah.
Or if they're needing me to be a bit more stern, motherly like, you
know.
So we just start to go through at a slow pace and then I can tell when they're ready and I'm like, let's do it. let's stick, you know, the lashes to the client. And they can see it straight away and they're like, oh, I got this. Yeah. And then they just start to slowly do it.
What about people who just don't get it and you're online? Because in person you can probably come and hold their hands and show them. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have anybody who just did not get it online and maybe you wanted to say, like, maybe it's not for you, or how did that go?
So I've never had that experience. I've had some similar experiences. Mm-hmm. I'll sort of jump forward a little bit, but we're going in the angle of we support a lot of Centrelink programs now, one being Parents Next, which is, and once again, that just fell in my lap.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of this program. So this is a government-funded support for people wanting to return to the workforce that have got young children.
Yeah.
So they can do a nationally accredited unit and it's within the government space.
Yeah.
So that has been a challenge because now I'm supporting women that have got young children possibly at their feet and, you know, all of that. So that at times was sort of a challenge that I wasn't prepared for.
Mm-hmm. So, Laura, why don't you tell me a little more about the government funding that you talked about?
Definitely. So this is a program that the government has brought out. I don't know the details of time frame, but it is from – there's certain criteria that people have to meet. Mm-hmm. So this is just one program. Training program that I believe, but there's many.
What was it called again?
Parents Next.
Parents Next.
So there is, it's via Centrelink, and the criteria that I believe is the applicant needs to have children under the age of 8.
Okay.
Now I think that could be changing. Their oldest needs to be older than 6 months or 8 months. The details I can't recall. So this is for people that are wanting to return to the workforce to upskill in certain ways. They do need to find an accredited course. So that could be, there could be many fields that could, you know, take interest. But the demographic that we're seeing come through is parents that have young children.
Yeah.
And they're intrigued about learning lashes. And once again, you know, my backstory is that my experience started when my kids were young and it was difficult to earn some money based around the kids. So this is something that really hits a mark for young parents, so women especially, because when you have children young, it can be quite isolating. You know, you do mix with other mums, but if you've gone from having a job yourself to then becoming a mum, even though being a mum is amazing, you can feel a little bit isolated, I suppose. So my experience is the same from what I'm hearing with a lot of other young parents or, you know, parents. So the thing with lashes is they're learning a skill. They're feeling really good about themselves. They're starting to develop their own business, but they're hitting the market still around the family.
Yeah.
So they're getting the best of so many different worlds there. But they're also, as they develop their business and learn the skills, they're getting such enjoyment out of making other women feel really happy, and so then they're proud of their work. They're also building a really good social network too. They're having the conversations with adults and different things that's not about children's napping times and food and, you know, back in my day it was like talking about Wiggles and Dora the Explorer and all of those type of things that are fun in the beginning but on repeat every day. Me personally, it didn't float my boat.
Yeah.
So then, so all the things that I remember enjoying about learning and developing, it really put a spring in my step. So this program that the government are offering, Parents Next program, there's many different agencies out there. There's so many. So if anyone is interested in this program, if they Google Parents Next and go through the Centrelink and have a look at the criteria, there's many different agencies out there that can actually help coordinate it for
That's
them.
Amazing. And this is through the Australian government or Victorian, do you know?
Victorian government.
Yeah.
I do believe there would be different possibilities in the different states for sure. Victorian is the one that we've gone through the most.
Yeah.
So I believe that they get in touch with one of the agencies or get in touch with Centrelink that would then point them in the right direction.
Yep.
They get in touch with that agency. That person would then probably direct them to me. I get the details of address, contact information. Yep. I forward the invoice to the agency pay, and then...
And they get the exact same training that someone who would have just gone through you
absolutely.
Personally would get?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we enroll them. They get the full support. There's no difference at all. They get the lash bed, the lash kit, and off they go.
That's really special. Yeah. I love that. How did you find out about the government program?
Accidental.
Yeah.
Accidental. We just started getting inquiries and I was realizing that the invoices were going directly through to the agency. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, there's so many different funding out there, lots and lots of support that the government will give. So it could be we've raised invoices for work injury.
Yeah.
You know, people that, there was one lady that had hurt her leg, but that definitely didn't stop her learning this skill and being able to earn an income. Mm-hmm. So the basis are, I suppose, supporting people to start to develop and get back to the workforce, you know, rather than relying on you know, payment, Centrelink payments and things like that. So, yeah, it's been really successful for this reason,
amazing.
Which is really, really good. So, yeah, if anyone, you know, listening to this podcast that wants to reach out and get some more information, they're more than welcome to contact me and I'll help wherever I can. I'm also wanting to market to people that are wanting to do the course that will, you know, follow through. It's not always foolproof. You'll get the some few that won't.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be marketing to someone that really is there just wanting to get them interested, because it's not easy. It's not an easy service.
Yeah.
And there's a lot involved. So my course is built on them creating a career out of this, building a business, and I give them all the strategies that has worked in my salon, so all the processes, how to deal with clients, how to deal with problems. I support them all in this. So all my learnings from start to finish on building Lash Loft in Parkdale.
I'm so intrigued, Laura. Yeah. I feel like I want to jump on the course and learn everything from you.
Well, I think that that's what helped me. When I look back at the training that I got that constant mentoring and I just adapted to everything that she did.
Yeah.
And I wanted to build that. So the last thing I want to do is to support, because my what floats my boat is to support someone to achieve.
Yeah.
I really do. And when I get that slight little doubt that they're feeling like they can't, I don't see why they can't. If I could, there's no reason why they can't.
Yeah.
So with that support, they need everything. You know, they really do need that. So I'm probably a bit too open where my students get my personal number and they can contact me. Mm-hmm. What I do feel very proud about the program is I rarely get many questions based on them not knowing what to do here, what to do there. So that tells me that the course is pretty structured pretty well with all the content needed. I'm very, very proud that the messages that I do get, even 6 months later, will be about them being proud about their work.
Oh.
So that tells me that I'm doing something really right with this program.
Yeah.
So I think going with the questions that I'm asked is how I sort of keep moving forward with this course. So if I'm getting asked a lot about, you know, my daughter is starting to lose interest in school, well, I'm starting to think about, okay, how can my program be meeting that need at this time, you know. So that's where I'm always moving forward based on what I'm hearing and seeing.
Yeah. Mm. With all the different aspects of your job, so you've got the online store, the training, the salon, do you have a favorite part?
Based on that question, I feel really, really blessed. Mm. I really do, because I'm loving everything.
Amazing.
I'm really loving everything. I have found that I've missed working literally with people.
Yeah.
So that's where I get a real buzz going back into the salon now.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something that was unexpected for me to learn. When I was working basically on my own, doing the online ordering and stocks and things like that, was quite secluded, which I love my own company and I didn't think it was anything that I was missing. But then working back into the salon, when I can walk in the door and be super proud and love my team, I'm like, I want to work here. Mm. I love working here and the just interacting and talking to clients and actually seeing something that I've created working really well.
Yeah.
Super proud. So that makes me want to work amongst people a little bit more. But I feel really blessed that I'm getting everything that I really want. I really enjoy supporting students and seeing seeing them taking on board the skills and feeling supported by me and their pride coming through that they then know that they can do it, I really get enjoyment out of that.
Yeah.
I would like to get, if I look at areas that I would like to improve on, is getting a little bit more clear cut boundaries, I suppose, where when I'm ordering stock and organising inventory, be really focused, not doing too many things at once. That's the thing that I would like to get a little bit more focused in doing and understanding a bit more, just having one hat on at that time, not four. Mm. That's something that I'm working on.
And what about like the accounting and marketing? Are you doing all of that as well or?
No.
Okay.
No. That is an area that has been the biggest shock to me.
Yeah.
Is when I think so many people when they start a business realize this. You know that you're good at something. Mm-hmm. You know you have this drive and you want to develop and grow. Mm-hmm. I never thought this, and it'd be interesting to see other people in business, but I never even thought about becoming a HR person, a marketing person. Accounting is my worst thing ever. I can't deal at all with that, but you need to do it. Mm. So all these areas, trying to meet the mark with all these things that are really important to run a business, that was something to be able to outsource and get the right person outsourcing, that has been a really big challenge for me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. For me to be able to explain what I want, you know, even just like getting the branding right when you're marketing, the look and the feel for what I like is a really hard thing for me to explain. So that's been a bit of a tricky thing, a tricky thing to, which I think is always ongoing for me, you know. And it's about finances too. What can you afford, you know? So
do you have a good mentor in that space?
I had the best mentor ever. This is a really cool story actually. I was blessed to somehow come across the council were offering a mentoring service and I signed up, and so they would interview you, understand your business, and they paired me with the best mentor ever. He was the founder of Nando's Chicken.
Oh,
the coolest man you'll ever meet. So he's involved slightly. He's, you know, a grandfather now, loves business. He gets a lot of enjoyment out of supporting business. The one thing that I remember him saying to me on repeat is that business can be very lonely, and he remembers that. So he wants to give back.
Yeah.
And so he enjoyed learning about my business. We would meet for brekkie. He'd give me all the time in the world. I believe he was paired with me based on the salon being a very franchisable business.
Yeah.
So the processes. So when he met me, the processes were really tight.
Yeah.
I'd removed myself from the business. It was quite a well-oiled type of business model. And he could see that that was definitely possible to franchise. So he wanted to support me in that.
Yeah.
And there was a moment where I was really intrigued and quite motivated to do it. And then I think I'm like, I can't do everything. I had a lot of areas. The training was, you know, really taking off.
Yeah.
Online store was taking off. And then I'm like, I know I could do it. I know I could. He was making me feel that it was definitely possible.
Yeah.
And I ended up just sort of deciding, look, I can't do everything.
Yeah.
I really can't. Where I start to lose confidence in myself is when I'm taking on too many things, and that's the industry and the way it's evolving. There are so many possibilities. There's so many angles that you can be doing things, and I know I'm capable. Whether or not I want to is a different story.
Yeah, and maybe it's something down the track you decide you want to go that route and close down something else. You know that someone has faith in you to do that.
Yep, and that's actually a message that I did want to sort of like bring to the table, in that people in business really get enjoyment out of helping other people in business. We, you know, we're very excited, entrepreneurial type mindset. We love business conversations. And when you can find someone and you're bouncing ideas off of, people want to share. So that's been the biggest help to me in having the conversations, asking questions, you know, being intrigued to ask people. And when I think back to a lot of the way things have unfolded are based on a conversation that I've had with someone that has that information.
Yeah.
So, you know, the franchising, the even coming to Click, you know, even developing.
Even starting the whole thing, just seeing someone with eyelashes and having a conversation about it.
Yeah, it's all based on people in business want to support people in business. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've ever met someone, even small, mainly small business or even bigger corporations, people want to share. They really do. They get enjoyment out of it. So I think not being scared to have conversations, going to networking events, which is something that I haven't done in a little while, but I know when I do, I love it. You know, you just, you bounce off each other and it's a really good energy, a really good energy. So that's something that anyone that is starting out in business, go to all the things that are available, get in contact with your council, look online, you know, Small Business Victoria sites. And there's so many areas where there is massive support, many free, and you look, you ask, and it's there. You know, you don't have to do it on your own. Definitely not.
To finish off, do you have any advice for people in the beauty industry or salon owners who could maybe add on to their current plate of roles and have an e-com store or do a training or do a salon? Do you have any?
I do. So the e-commerce, with it changing over the years with COVID, that I would say, if I'm going to give advice to a salon owner, I wouldn't go into that area. There's a lot of competition, a huge amount of competition. So if I have a salon owner that is good at doing the service and has a good understanding about, you know, they've been in the industry, say, for a couple of years, they have a good understanding now about running a business, they probably are at the level to start training. So that's something that we are able to support. So we are able to support someone with that knowledge to be able to deliver training in their salon, let's say, start to train students. And from that, we're able to offer the accreditation to those students. So that salon owner can develop her course. We can help with that. We can also help with putting the kits together based on their logo and brand, and we can then say that she can do the training, she or he can do the training, and then we can accredit those students. So they're getting the complete package. That would be something that I would really encourage salon owners to start to have a think about doing, because that's where they're at now. That's where the industry has sort of gotten to, where there are a lot of very experienced salon owners now, which they'd be ready to take that step. So that's something that we really want to promote and focus on this year, is the support that we can give them to take it up a notch now.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Laura. That was an amazing convo. And yeah, I feel like I could come chat to you about anything and you would have an answer, and a very well-spoken one at that.
And if I couldn't have the answer, there'd be a way to find it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Conversations.
Absolutely.
Want to know more about where Laura runs her business? Click Collective is a warehousing and co-working space built around the needs of an e-commerce community. On site, we have spaces for your warehouse, office, showroom, logistics, photography studio, and more. Follow us on Instagram at Click Collective, or learn more about how we can support your business journey. Visit us at clickcollective.com.au.